You're listening to the Chapman Cast, a podcast about religion and life.
Welcome to the Chapman Cast. My name is Pierce, and I'm joined today by Todd. And we're interviewing Jim Adams, director of the Bernathen Cathedral, because we've got a lot of questions that we have about the cathedral. We've heard a lot of good things lately. But before we get started, I just wanted to check in. Jim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, and thank you so much for having me on your show. We're very excited to be talking about the cathedral, and I look forward to answering any and all questions that you throw my way.
Well, I was doing not so great coming here because the Phillies were down 4-2 in the seventh inning. I'm hoping that when this interview is done, I'll be doing great because they came from behind and won.
That's very sad. I feel your pain. I'm doing actually quite fine because it's the weekend, and I'm about to be done with work right after this.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you, Jim, was because I happened to be over the cathedral the other day, just bumbling along, doing nothing as I usually do, and I started talking with Julia. I guess she's your administrative assistant over there, and just asked her, hey, well, what's new? What's happening at the cathedral these days? There were a lot of really exciting things happening. I thought it'd be good to bring you on here and tell us all the wonderful things that is happening at the cathedral these days.
Well, thank you. What I'd like to do is just sort of give a recap of what we've done the last 5 years. Basically, I became the director of the cathedral about 5 years ago, and one of the first things that I noticed is that we needed to start to restore the cathedral to its original beauty and its original intent. So we were very fortunate that we had a wonderful cathedral oversight committee and some really good staff in place, and so we started to analyze what needed to be done throughout the building to enhance visitors' experience, to make the worship experience much better and user-friendly. And we had a number of issues. We had an antiquated lighting system from the 1960s, state-of-the-art when it was put in, but we had a number of problems with it. For example, you turn it on in the morning, and you never knew if it was going to strobe like a strobe light or short out or not come on and so on. So we worked as a committee, and we were able to put a brand new lighting system in. When we put the new lighting system in, we took advantage of the temporary floor that we put up in the cathedral. We ended up cleaning all of the wood trusses. Some of the wood was over 300 years old because the cathedral was built in 1913, and a lot of the trees that were felled within a 10-mile radius were used for the arches and support of the cathedral roof. And a lot of the trees, as you cut a tree down, you can count the number of rings. Some of the trees were actually 300 years old. So we got Milner Car Restoration out of Philadelphia to come in and train Rich Schau, who works for us, on how to properly restore the ceiling. And if you've been in the nave, it's 58 feet tall in some areas. This was a huge undertaking, and we pulled off all new lighting and cleaning all the wood up there in about a three-month period. We did not shut the cathedral down for one service. We had fluorescent lights underneath that actually lit it up better than the old lighting and saved us a lot of money. At the same time, we also cleaned the stone from the platform level up. For the past 3 years, we've every winter, as soon as we can in the first week of January, we've set up massive scaffolding in different areas, and we are cleaning all the stone to bring it back to its original beauty. It hadn't been clean since it was originally completed in 1920. We also had a problem with our sound system. It was another adventure where you never know if it was going to work or not, so we put a brand new sound system in that has some hearing assist for people with hearing aids. That's really helped their experience. And then just recently, within the past 4 weeks, we've gone with live video streaming of services out of the cathedral. Actually, just today, we put our fourth camera in, so we're going to have four camera angles. You can go to the Bernathen Cathedral website, click on the Bernathen Cathedral Ustream, and watch a video.
Now, I have watched some of these live stream videos. I know that the cathedral's been streaming at least audio for quite some time. I've been amazed at how many times I run into people who watch cathedral video from all across the country. Now, do you have any idea as to how many people are watching these videos? Have you seen any increase in viewership over the years?
This past Sunday was our fourth week where we actually had it up and running. And it was very exciting because we had 38 people connected via computers. And you have to realize at each location, there's multiple viewers. So, for example, at Karenwood Village, which is our retirement community, the first week that we tested with them, we had a computer system hooked into their flat screen TV in their dining room. First week, there were 13 people watching, the second Sunday, 16, and last Sunday, 20. I just found out that Taney Friend, who's on our cathedral outreach committee, emailed her friend in Holland, and she and 9 other people watched from Holland last Sunday. So just those two connections right there, we had 30 viewers. We're estimating we had over 100 people watching services. I'm getting emails from all around the world, all around the country, and this has just made it such an immediate impact on people who are in remote areas like California. I have someone watching from England. When our 11 o'clock service is on, it's about 4 o'clock in England, but they're watching, and it's just making such a difference in people's lives. I can't wait for this Sunday to see how many people have logged in.
Yeah, that's completely amazing how many people are watching, and it bodes well for the future of the Bernathen Cathedral as its own entity, just because people around the world know about the Bernathen Cathedral, and now that they can be introduced to the teachings and the preaching and all of the stuff that goes with it, it's huge.
Now, about that, you talked about different services, and a lot of the listeners don't necessarily know a lot about Bernathen. Could you give us a rundown of what services are at Bernathen Cathedral, as well as what kind of special services?
Yes, on every Sunday we have 3 services. We have 2 services that run at the same time. One is the Young Children's Service, and that's over in the Council Chamber, and that's targeted towards very young families. It's a very short service. At the same time, we have the Family Service, more for families with older children, and a lot of adults will come if they have other plans later in the day. To give you an idea, back at the Children's Service, we average anywhere from 25 to 60 in attendance. Our Family Services range from about 120, sometimes up to 200. And then at 11 o'clock, we have an adult service, which is very traditional. We're consistently, this time of year, drawing over 200 to that service. And that's why we're so excited that at the adult service last week, we had over 200 in the cathedral and at least another 100 on computers all around the world.
Right, and that's not even counting the special services. Goodness knows we've all been to a special service at the cathedral where it comes down to almost standing room only.
We have Christmas tableaus that we usually have about the second Sunday in December, and we have 4 different services that run one after the other, and we usually draw between 1,800 to 2,200 people. Christmas Eve is by far our largest. Some years, you know, we have 1,600, but we've had some years where we've hit 2,300. I remember one of my first Christmas Eve services as a director, we had 960 people show up for one service. Now, the nave holds approximately 672 in the pews. We quickly set up about 150 portable chairs in the choir hall because we pipe the music and the sermon out there. And then there were still people in the entrance vestibule, standing room only. Counted about 40 people that just turned around, went home, and then came back for the next service. We've countered that by now adding 2 young children's services at the same time, and we seem to have evened it out where I think last year our largest Christmas Eve service is about 700. We also, during the course of the year, have about 30 weddings at the cathedral, about 25 funerals or memorial services. And then we have various special services throughout the year.
I know one special service that Todd and I are looking forward to is ordination coming up. And I must say, I'm particularly excited about you having live streaming because there's a good chance that I'm not going to be there in case my wife and I have our baby at that time. So it'll be nice to be able to watch from the hospital. Now, one of the things that Todd had mentioned to me was that you guys have regular visitors to the cathedral from all around the world and the community. Can you talk a little bit about how many visitors come to the cathedral and what can a visitor expect when they come?
Sure. When I became director, we started to count the visitors differently from the previous director, and we're modeling after what the Glencairn Museum, which is just up the street from us, does. And we count visitors that physically come in the door and take a tour. And the first year we went that route, we had about 8,500 visitors, as I recall. And last year, I think we had between 10 to 12,000. Now, that's just inside the building. Outside, there's always in excess of 20 to 25,000 people a year that come in and enjoy the grounds. Sunset is absolutely spectacular. One of the things that's really elevated our tours is a couple years ago, the Cathedral, Glencairn, Carronwood, and Carroncrest all became National Landmark Historic District sites. We had a wonderful celebration and had over 2,000 people attend during the day. All the buildings were opened up. We had different events going on. We had a special service at the cathedral. So we're working in conjunction with Glencairn and Carronwood to develop a historic tour of all the buildings and how they interact and how our church community was started. And then the cathedral, where we still have, you know, we have ongoing live services.
What really impressed me about the tours is that these aren't just people in Bernathen showing up at your doorstep and going through a tour. These are people who are coming in on buses and motor coaches and organized tours that are not related to Bernathen in any other way, showing up at the doors and saying, show me the cathedral. I was over there just a couple days ago, and it just brought to me how much is happening in the cathedral Monday through Saturday. So could you tell us a little bit more about these other organizations that we're working with?
Sure. We have ongoing regular tours from schools all around the area, anywhere from 2,500 to 4,000 school students that come through on tours, from little homeschool groups to, you know, large public schools to private schools. And it's just wonderful. Glencairn Museum staff helped us create a tour for school children. And we have a director and two people that assist her. And they walk the children through areas of the cathedral that we allow the public to go. And then they have different projects they work on. It's a really great experience. On top of that, we have a lot of architectural students from different colleges in the area that come and look at the stained glass windows, look at the architecture of the building. A lot of them will do projects, and, you know, we allow them to take photographs of certain areas of the cathedral. It's just a great outreach, and drive down Huntington Pike, and all of a sudden you look up, and there's this wonderful Gothic cathedral. You look up at the Glencairn Museum, which looks like a castle. You look at the John and Gertrude Pitcairn House, Carronwood, that was a Career and Hastings design that was designed in 1892, and they moved in around 1895. And then hidden back over the hill is Carroncrest, which was the home of Harold Pitcairn, and he was the person that started Eastern Airlines. And it's just stunning to see that.
That is an amazing perspective to have as to the whole grounds. I always think of one place at a time, but you're right. There's a lot you see as you pass by. One of the things that I've also noticed just passing by is there seems to be some new things on the front. New signs out front that went up, I think, around the time the new historic district was noted. And it seems to be a much more of a welcoming flavor to it. Talking to David Lindruth a year or two ago about Ivyland Church that he used to run, he said the biggest, most helpful thing he ever did on signage was put out there, welcome. How has that worked for you? Have you noticed a difference in the response of the community to a more open cathedral?
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword. We do have welcome on our signs, and we try our best to be welcoming, and that's worked very well. We also do shut the grounds down during weddings and funerals so that we do not take away from a family, you know, who is burying their loved one or having a wedding. And that does cause us some angst with people who have driven quite a distance. We've tried really hard to put on our website our schedule, and we state that we close for services. It's getting a lot better, and we have greeters out there that will say, hi, are you here for the funeral? Are you here for the wedding? And if the visitor responds, no, we're just here for a tour, we say, well, we're very sorry, we're closed, but we'll be open up and again in about 2 hours. You're welcome to go up to the museum or to Carronwood if they're not having an event. And we try to hand out literature that shows people when they can come back, and we invite people in for services. Now, for Sunday morning services, anyone's welcome to come and join our service. We'd love to have people to just come on in and see what we're all about.
Now, during our conversation, we've talked about tour guides, people out front greeting people. There's obviously a large staff that works at the cathedral. Are there a lot of volunteers that are also involved in making this huge operation run?
Yes, we have a huge amount of volunteers. We have ushers, sound operators, chancel attendants, tour guides, greeters. We have a choir. We have people that come and help with the grounds. They come on Friday mornings and help our paid staff. We have a stonemason on staff with an assistant, and then we sometimes get volunteers that will help with that. So there's a lot of opportunity to assist and help out at the cathedral, and you know, we welcome people to come and talk to us about the opportunities.
Well, Jim, last thing here for you. What's new and exciting on the horizon? We've talked about stuff that's in action, but what can you tell us about what's coming around the corner to us?
Well, a project that we're working on that I'm very excited about, because it's going to help us with our operating expenses, is we're looking at putting in geothermal heating and air conditioning. The cathedral's about 27,000 square feet, and we are all electric. It used to be heated by steam back in the 60s. That failed, and they elected back then, because electrical rates were very low, to go with straight electric. So as you can imagine, in today's world, it's pretty expensive with that. So we're looking at putting in geothermal, where we'll be able to sink about 40 wells that'll be 500 feet deep on the cathedral hill, and then restore it so that won't be any impact to the cathedral, and then put in this new system, and it'll be great to also have it air-conditioned, especially for summer weddings and summer services. I think the most exciting thing is that we have a wonderful committee that has been started by people that work within the cathedral, and it's called our Outreach Committee, and we are constantly looking for ways to be more welcoming, to improve the quality of our service, to reach out to people as they come into our church for the first time, second time, or you know, ongoing, and we're just really excited about that. We're here to share with the world what we have, and to me, that's just the most important thing that we can do.
Well, thank you, Jim, for joining us on the Chapman Cast. I'm going to put links in the show notes to the Bernathen Cathedral, and if people are interested in attending the services, again, they're 9:30 and 11 Sunday mornings. All are welcome. And if you're interested in visiting the cathedral, you can stop by. And if you're looking to volunteer, I'll put some contact information on there too. Again, Jim, thank you for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on another episode of the Chapman Cast.
Content on the Chapman Cast is owned by its hosts and interview guests. Find us online at newchurchperspective.com/chapmancast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a positive review on iTunes and tell your friends. We welcome your feedback in the comments section of the website. Thank you for listening.